two pilots with the RAF's Red Arrows survive a mid-air collision. Three occupants of two GA planes over Florida do not. And Airbus gloats about a WTO ruling. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, March 24th, 2010. The RAF's Red Arrows Precision Aerobatic Team has had its first mid-air collision in 40 years. Two Hawk jets reportedly swapped paint over Crete yesterday. One of the planes reportedly suffered minor damage and was landed safely by its pilot. The other pilot, identified as Flight Lieutenant Mike Ling, was forced to eject. His aircraft went down on the runway and was described as severely damaged on impact. Ling is reported to have suffered a dislocated shoulder and other minor injuries. There's no word yet on exactly how the team's performance schedule will be affected. The Red Arrows perform using 9 planes and keep a 10th on standby in case of technical issues. I'm guessing this qualifies. The NTSB is investigating the mid-air collision of an RV-6 and a Piper PA-32 Saturday near Williston, Florida. What is known so far is that the RV had taken off from Ocala, the Piper from Williston Municipal, and they collided about 4 miles from Williston. A witness reported a sound like a gunshot and found the RV inverted in a field. The Piper was found burning in a densely wooded area less than a quarter mile away. The RV had only the pilot on board. He's been identified as 73-year-old Lee Sentman III, a professor from the University of Illinois who retired to Florida. The Piper had a pilot and passenger on board whose identities had not been released as of our deadline. There were no survivors. Conditions were described as clear and sunny at the time of that collision. Airbus is figuratively sticking its tongue out at Boeing, which as late as Monday night predicted the World Trade Organization would come down hard on European governments for illegal subsidies to Airbus. In a ruling Tuesday, the WTO did find that illegal subsidies have given Airbus an unfair advantage over Boeing. But Airbus points out the ruling dismissed 70% of the U.S. claims and specifically rejected the idea that any questionable financing activity in Europe has cost any American jobs. Airbus did say it will study WTO's ruling that past loans from governments to Airbus, some of which involved waived repayment, contain an element of subsidy. In tit for tat, Airbus also noted that research grants from governments to manufacturers were found to be structurally non-compliant, which will have ramifications when the counter-complaints filed by Europe against the U.S. receive a ruling. The New York Times reports that WTO ruling says the subsidies for the A380 were the most egregious and that they should be pulled without delay. Up next on ANN, the U.S. Senate finally votes to reauthorize the FAA. Marion Blakey says the FAA will finally get some program and budget stability. And Garmin wants to move to Switzerland? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 24th. I'm Paul Plack. After years of anticipation, frenzied lobbying, and no small amount of partisan bickering and stalling, federal lawmakers finally got it done, although parts don't get fully implemented till 2014. That's right. The U.S. Senate has passed FAA reauthorization. Why? What did you think I was talking about? The vote on Monday was a unanimous 93-0 and would turn loose $34.5 billion to continue operation of the FAA and fund a move toward next-gen air traffic control. The bill does set some milestones to be met in that development. The 35 busiest U.S. airports would have to have RNP and RNAV implemented by 2014. Significantly, the bill would also move up the deadlines for ADS-B by as much as 5 years from earlier plans, now requiring ADS-B out by 2015 and ADS-B in by 2018. It would also implement several suggestions for improving airline safety, which came forth following the Continental Connections 3407 case. Lawmakers from both sides have praised the bill, and so have the alphabet groups. It took so long after the expiration of the last four-year authorization, at the end of fiscal 2007, to get this new bill done, that it'll only cover 18 months. There are some differences in this bill from the one passed by the House last fall, so reconciliation will be needed. But at least we're on our way. Former FAA Administrator Marion Blakey saw her share of the aforementioned partisan bickering and stalling before she segued from the FAA to her current role as CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association. Blakey commented on the Senate's long-delayed passage of FAA Reauth, noting that the agency is currently running on its 12th short-term extension. She said reauthorization will now provide program and budget stability for the FAA. Quote, AIA is particularly pleased with the Senate's foreign repair station provision, which seeks to honor bilateral aviation safety agreements. AIA is also a strong supporter of the administration's goal to accelerate next-gen implementation, unquote. AIA members will manufacture a lot of the equipment and write a lot of the software that's required to make next-gen happen. The FAA has turned down an application for funding of a $6 million improvement project at Blue Earth Municipal Airport in Minnesota. The city council sought the funds to extend the runway by 1,200 feet to 4,600 and to build a new parallel taxiway and apron. The Faribault County Register reports a consultant told the city it had the 500 operations per year considered a minimum to qualify for the funding, but the council suspected those numbers were inflated. In the rejection letter, the FAA's Dandra DePatie noted that a premise of likely growth in use by larger planes and small jets was unsupported by the 26 such operations recorded there in 2006. DePatie has advised the city that funding for a reconstruction of the current runway and apron and construction of a full parallel taxiway can still be considered this year. Garmin says its board has approved a move of its place of incorporation to Switzerland. If you didn't know, the company is currently headquartered in the Cayman Islands. Shareholders will be asked to approve the move at their May meeting. The Grand Court of the Cayman Islands will also have to sign off on it. The company expects the change to be effective in June. Dr. Min Kao, Garmin chairman and CEO, explained, quote, Garmin's footprint in Europe has grown considerably through the acquisition of our distributors in 10 European countries during the last 4 years, plus our recent establishment of an office in Poland. The Swiss office will provide a base for expansion of certain corporate functions in Europe and a more favorable structure from which it would be possible to acquire or partner with European businesses. We believe that the change of our jurisdiction of incorporation will enhance our global business operations and reputation consistent with our status as an international company with significant operations in Asia, North America, as well as Europe. Switzerland also offers a well-developed corporate, legal, and regulatory environment with an extensive network of tax treaties with other countries, unquote. Find details on Garmin's corporate history in the text version of this story, dated March 23rd, at aero-news.net. Still ahead, PowerFlow Systems introduces a performance upgrade for legacy Robinson R-22s. It's Aviation and Aerospace Appreciation Month in Arkansas, and the role of military UAVs is growing rapidly. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 24th. I'm Paul Plack. PowerFlow Systems, maker of aftermarket high-performance exhaust systems for popular fixed-wing aircraft, is introducing its first rotorcraft product, the system for Robinson R-22 HP, Alpha, or Beta helicopters, powered by the Lycoming O320, is a complete system that replaces everything from the cylinders down, including a new carb heat box, and it mates to the original equipment cabin heat ducting. PowerFlow calls the system a Beta 2 in a box, comparing the performance improvement gained to an upgrade from an O320 to the Beta 2's O360. Specifically, the company says the mod adds 8 knots of cruise speed at the same manifold pressure, allows a 200 to 300 foot per minute increase in climb, or maintains the original cruise speed with a 15% reduction in fuel consumption. The mod kit includes a new manifold pressure gauge and upgrades the O320 to the same engine performance limitations as the O360-powered R22 Beta 2. There are already 10 Robbies flying with the system in New Zealand, where it has CAA approval. FAA approval in the U.S. is expected in June, when shipments will begin first come, first served. Powerflow Systems offers a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 1-year 500-hour warranty. And unlike the original equipment, the upgrade is not bound by a mandatory replacement at 2,200 hours. Find out more at www.pfsr22.com. Alphabet groups are praising a proclamation by Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe, declaring March Aviation and Aerospace Appreciation Month in his state. In it, he says, quote, "With over 100 airports, 5,135 pilots, and 5,400 jobs directly attributed to the industry, general aviation in particular is extremely vital to Arkansas's statewide economy," unquote. The state calculates the GA brings in just under $500 million annually to the state's economy. Selena Shalad, executive director of the Alliance for Aviation Across America, explained the significance, quote, "We must continue to support these aircraft and airports and the businesses and organizations that depend on them as a crucial resource for small towns and rural communities," unquote. Airmen of the U.S. Air Force's 432nd Air Expeditionary Wing reached a milestone March 12th when they hit 700,000 flight hours in the MQ-1B Predator. How fast is military use of UAVs growing? Well, the last 200,000 Predator hours were flown in just over 12 months. That compares to 19 months to fly the previous 250,000 hours. And the first 250,000 hours took 12 and a half years. While the Predator has become famous for its role in Iraq and Afghanistan, an unarmed version designated the RQ-1 recently flew over Haiti following January's big earthquake to provide damage assessment and identify relief needs. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, if CEO Brent Wouters sees a big 2010 ahead for Cirrus Aircraft, what does he see in the future for his competitors and for his own jet development program? And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.